Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this summer Saturday, June 29, 2019. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, and you can hear us from anywhere online at 883wppb.org. And each show is turned into a podcast, and you can hear it on Audio Boom, iTunes, anywhere, and at your leisure. And it's also archived on my website at annliguori.com. Wow, just coming off hosting our 21st annual Anne Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic at West Hampton Country Club. It was an incredible success. It was last Thursday, and yes, it was foggy, but it felt like golfing in Scotland, or it felt like many years ago. I played Pebble Beach for the first time. I was one of the earliest tee times there, and it was so foggy that I couldn't see 10 feet in front of me for about the first five holes. I have since played Pebble Beach in nicer weather, and it wasn't quite that foggy last Thursday at West Hampton Country Club, but we actually dodged a bullet. It didn't rain all afternoon. It was just foggy. So, hey, we'll take the fog. But whatever, it was a really incredible day. And West Hampton Country Club just did a phenomenal job. They were so hospitable, so friendly. They couldn't do enough for us. And we just really enjoyed it. Everybody loved playing the golf course, such a historic gem. So I thank the staff at West Hampton Country Club for doing such an amazing job. And I thank all my sponsors and donors and participants and volunteers, everybody from ABM and Tom and Shonda Foster, who came up from the Carolinas, to Jim Halpin at Platinum, Peak Vision Sunglasses, Structured Tone, TaylorMade, Tarenko Lifestyles, Greg Norman a Collection, the Indigo Hotel, San Michel Wines. We just had a wonderful time, and I thank Colleen and Tom Corcoran, who hosted our VIP party the night before in West Hampton Beach. So, you know, it's a real effort when you do these fundraisers, when you host these charity and you organize these charity tournaments, and it takes a real great team of people who just volunteer their time and efforts, and we just have a lot of great people out here, so I really want to thank everybody for helping out. We raised a lot of money for various organizations who focus on cancer research, cancer prevention, and cancer care. And this past Monday, I was honored at the Samuel Waxman Cancer Research Foundation Charity Golf Classic. They have their own annual charity golf tournament, and this year they honored, I was one of the honorees, and just was so delighted. And what made the day even more special was when Dr. Samuel Waxman presented me with a packet of materials and a synopsis on the research that the money that we raise from our charity golf tournament has contributed to. And we have asked that they research ovarian cancer. I lost my 56-year-old cousin to ovarian cancer a number of years ago, Ruth. And at the time, I had met Dr. Waxman and decided that we are going to earmark some funds that we raised from this annual charity golf tournament toward research of ovarian cancer. And he presented me this past Monday with an entire package of everything that the researchers and scientists are doing in that area where, you know, our donation has been helping out. So that was just very, very special because they are making progress. It is a very difficult cancer to detect, and the symptoms are just very similar to other things. So a lot of times people who get diagnosed with it don't get diagnosed with ovarian cancer until they're in their fourth stage, and it's really terrible. So I just thought, you know, we need more research done on this. If we could just help out by contributing monies toward that area. And so the Samuel Waxman Cancer Research Foundation is using our checks every year in that area of research. So, you know, we're just doing what we can. We're doing what we can. So anyway, it was a wonderful day of golf. And it's been an incredible last couple weeks. I was at Pebble Beach covering the U.S. Open, and congrats to Gary Woodland. That was quite the win as he kept Brooks Koepka at bay, which is not easy to do in a major, Koepka being the major machine. And Brooks Koepka played at the Travelers, where I was last weekend, and he was just exhausted, and who could blame him? I mean, the guy's won four majors in 8 or 9 attempts, and that's an incredible record, and came in second at the Masters and at Pebble Beach. So the guy's just incredible. But congratulations to Chez Reavy, who held off a late charge by Keegan Bradley last Sunday at the Travelers Championship to win his second PGA Tour title, his first since his rookie season back in 2008. Reavy played very, very well at Pebble Beach as well during the U.S. Open, coming in third. So it was good to see Chez Reavy win again. It's been a long time. He's had some wrist injuries and surgeries. And, you know, I mean, his first victory was 2008, and he just wins his second last Sunday at the Travelers. And a very nice man, and I was happy for him. So actually, this show we'll be focusing on the Travelers Championship. The PGA Tour stop voted the players' favorite tour stop by the players themselves who vote for the second year. And I hosted my annual show there. This morning you will hear my conversations with Andy Bassett of Travelers. Andy joins us every year and gives us the rundown of this incredible PGA Tour stop. Nathan Grube, the tournament director, will join us. I always love catching up with Nathan Grube. He's an incredible guy and does a great job with the tournament. The entire team, Andy Bassett's entire team at Travelers and Nathan Grube's team, do an incredible job with this tournament every year. It's actually played very close to, not very close. I took the ferry over, but it's in the New York metropolitan area somewhat. It's outside of Hartford, Connecticut at the TPC River Highlands. And it's just a fun ride up there on the ferry from the east end of Long Island. And, you know, I always enjoy my time up there. They're just wonderful people and very hospitable. Brittany Vose, one of the amazing volunteers who organizes the annual 18-hole stroll each year at the Travelers Championship. It's always held on the Sunday of the final round. It's a walk to raise money for pancreatic cancer research. We talked about ovarian cancer. Well, pancreatic is another very difficult cancer to diagnose. And I was interested in talking to Brittany about all her hard work. She had lost her father to this dreaded disease years ago. So, and Brittany's young and just a dynamo and just very inspiring to talk to, this young woman who's doing so much in raising money and awareness for pancreatic cancer research. So you'll hear my interview with Brittany this morning as well. And again, I had the opportunity to spend a couple minutes with Chez Reavy, who was able to hold off Keegan Bradley down the stretch to win his second PGA Tour title. So all that coming up this morning on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. You can order it online at dunejewelry.com, D-U-N-E-Jewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game, peakvision.com, P-E-A-K-vision.com. And by Peconic Bay Medical Center, the eastern hub for the world-class resources of New York's largest healthcare system. Northwell Health, Peconic Bay Medical Center, serving 250,000 East End residents. Learn more at pbmchealth.org. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and I am honored to talk to Andy Bassette, Executive Vice President, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers. And here we are in Cromwell, Connecticut, final round. Andy, it's good to be here in the final round. We're going to do a wrap show this year on Sports Interview.
Great. With the way that the week is going, you pick the best day of the week. And the player field has just been terrific. A lot of guys have been scoring well, and there's a whole bunch out at the top, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Five of the top six in the world came here this year, 16 of 30. Yeah. That's huge. You have some new guys. You know, Phil hasn't been here since, what, 2002.
Yeah.
You have Molinari.
Yeah.
What talent. You have Tommy Fleetwood. And to come the week after the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, we have the charter every year that we offer to the players, and we offer to the player, their caddy, and one other person. And if they have family and children, they can come too. But so this year we had 160 seats on the charter and 156 human beings and four dogs. And the four dogs got seats too. So the plane was full. It's never been full coming from the U.S. Open on the West Coast. And to have them all come out here, it's so terrific because it's about what we're about, right? We try to do as many things as we can to make this a great tournament for the players. We built a world-class practice facility here about 10, 11 years ago. And then we, with the PGA Tour, put a few million dollars into the golf course three or four years ago. And now this brand new 40,000 square foot clubhouse. And why do we do all that stuff? Because we want to attract the best players in the world. And why do we want to do that? Because the more of them come, and when you have a great field, more people come out and buy shirts and food and tickets and everything else. And the interesting part of the Travelers Championship is 100% of all net proceeds go to charity. And that's how last year we were able to raise $2 million for over 150 charities. And this year in 2019, we're on pace to be over $2 million as well for 150 charities.
The way you run the Travelers and your team, it's extraordinary. And I do want to, you mentioned a lot in that last answer, so I want to kind of go to, you know, reach out and talk a little bit about some of the specifics. But first, all the players coming in from Pebble Beach and the dogs.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit of, the extras that the Travelers Championship does for the players. It makes it really the most popular PGA Tour stop.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot. When they land, volunteers are out there, and they're assigned their cars for the week, but we work with them throughout the year. And I think that, we have a onesie program because so many of the young players are having babies. And so we have pink and blue onesies with an umbrella on their chest, and we send those out to the players. And, you know, it's I always have a favorite story, and Sergio Garcia and his wife had Azalea here, maybe 3 years ago. And I wrote a note, "Dear Azalea, welcome to the world. Your mom and dad are great people. You're going to have a lot of fun in your life. However, just do me a favor and ask your mom and dad to bring you to the Travelers Championship so that I can meet you in person." And it's this, I love Andy. And Sergio's wife sent me the most beautiful note back. It was unbelievable. And, to me, that's what this is all about. It's developing relationships with the players throughout the year, caring about them, their wives, their families, their caddies, everybody, and doing things with them throughout the year. So I think that, you know, we do a lot of types of things during tournament week, but we extend that throughout the year.
And what was it like to have Phil Mickelson back?
You know, to have Phil back, and I saw Phil in Charlotte at Wells Fargo, and he's terrific. And I sat in the locker room and said, "Hey, Phil, you know, the people of Connecticut really love you." And he said, "Well, I love them, and I love coming back. I'm going to come." And so I said, "Whoa, this is really good." And so he hasn't been here in 17 years, although in 07 he was going to be here. But remember, he injured his wrist that year, and he had to withdraw. But so to have him back was tremendous, to have such an icon. I mean, he's an icon and represents really the best that has been around the PGA Tour for decades. And so to have him here is terrific for the tournament. He brought out lots and lots of fans to watch him, even in the rain on Thursday, and that's how we give more to charity. So, and I talked to Phil after he played, and you know, he's still very optimistic, very upbeat on his game, and he's very upbeat on competing at all the rest of the season and coming back to the Travelers.
Well, it means a means a lot. It says a lot about the Travelers because Phil had a tough week. He was going, you know, six-time a runner-up. He was going for, you know, completing the career Grand Slam at Pebble Beach during the U.S. Open. He didn't play particularly well, and yet he's here this week entertaining the fans, and he is an icon. I mean, you want Phil Mickelson at your event.
Yeah, you want Phil in the field. I mean, he's a good man. It's funny. He said that normally they go on vacation. The Mickelson family goes on vacation the week after the U.S. Open. And this year, his daughter was in an archaeological dig over somewhere in Greece, and so they couldn't. Their vacation was delayed a week. So he said, That helps me get to the Travelers Championship. I said, oh, this is great. And I said, I should send your daughter flowers and offer to send her on an archaeological dig every week after the U.S. Open. So, you know what, we have a lot of fun with all the folks. But as you said, too, you know, to have Molinari and Fleetwood in our field this year has been terrific. And
those two are two of the top international players in the world. I mean, they're just amazingly talented. And obviously, Molinari coming after the Open Championship, current Open Champion.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood is just on the cusp. He has so much talent. He's going to break loose soon. So it must be meaningful to you and to your team to have those two players here for the first time.
You know what? When players come for the first time, that just reinforces that we're doing something right because they want to come see what we're doing. And Tommy and I have talked quite a bit this week, and I think he'll be back as well. He's played very well here. And again, they understand what we're trying to do here and what it's all about. And again, every single player has said to me, you treat us so well. And I say, but I want to do it better. Like, what can I do better?
Right.
And they say, I don't know, I think you do it all. And I said, no, we can't possibly. So if you get any feedback ever, here's my card. Just send me a text or an email and tell me what else we can do better.
I know you say that every year. Do players ever text you with ideas?
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, tournament week, I know the listeners can't see it, but I have my roving pad. I mean, I've got probably 20 pages of notes of everything that I've heard, seen, observed throughout the week as improvements for 2020.
Can you tell us one or two?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they're all over the place, though. And some of this would mean a lot, but we have a thing called a fan zone.
Yes.
And during the rain, it got a little muddy, so we're going to pave a 20 or 30-foot street down the middle of the fan zone next year so that we can build it around Main Street and have street lights. You know how you see those iconic from the old days with gas lights? We're going to have red Travelers umbrella lights on the street. So we've got some plans in place already as to how to improve it. The food has been terrific here this year, and we've got a few ideas on how to even beef that up more. The player experience in and around the clubhouse will continue to evolve and change. So, I mean, there's everything in here. I mean, it's like things that would be meaningless to most people, but it in the end it will provide a better experience for the fans and everybody else that comes out.
Don't lose that notebook. I know it's very important to you and to the continued success of the event, although I don't know how much better it could get.
You know what? We have a saying, and you've heard me say this beforehand, the status quo is unacceptable. That, you know, if anybody thinks that this is as good as it's going to get, they're dead wrong. That we're going to continue to evolve and assess everything we do and make it better. And, you know, that's the way we run Travelers. I mean, Travelers Corporation is strong in the community, strong in charities. Last year we gave over $25 million to charity. And our employees volunteer for like 150,000 hours a year in the communities in which they live and work. And when you look at that as being the core of who we are corporately, that's what we do at the Travelers Championship, too. It's all about charity and community and making people proud of what we're doing and giving money back to charity.
We talked about some of the new players who were here this year. How about the repeat performers that you've become such good friends with, Bubba and Jason Day, and these guys just love this event and come back every year, and you know the family. So talk a little bit about those guys who won't miss this event.
Yeah, you know, like you said, and you said the right names, but there are so many names. Patrick Reed has been a great friend, a great supporter. Bubba, of course. I mean, the list really does go on and on. Justin Thomas. Justin's been a great friend of ours and has been here all the time. Jordan Spieth was back this year. Great friend of ours. I mean, we've developed relationships with a lot of the top players in the world. And to me, you know, Bryson DeChambeau is here. I think that's terrific. Bryson's a really sharp young golfer coming up, doing some really great things. And so, you know, but it's interesting, too, because a part of our mantra and what we do is to invite young players, the amateurs. And we invited the top four amateurs in the world to be here and to give them exemptions to get in to play us. Matt Wolf, great, great young man, really good young man. Victor Hovland, I mean, even a better young man. I mean, they're great young men. And Sue and...
Lo-Am at the U.S. Open.
Yeah. And Morikawa. And so, you know, when you look at those four young men, that's the future of the PGA Tour. And to have the four of them, and they all came up to me and said, we're so appreciative of what you did and giving us the exemptions. And I said, easy, just remember, don't forget us. When you get famous, come back and visit us. And, you know, Webb Simpson did that in 2008. I was on the range, and he came up to me and said, Mr. Bissett, thank you very much for the exemption. I said, Webb, you're very welcome, but remember one thing. I only have one request. When you get famous, come back and see us. Fast forward to 2011. Who won the U.S. Open? Webb Simpson. Who came to Travelers? Webb Simpson. So that's how this is all working. And we're so proud of our relationships with young players and with our veterans who are very, very loyal to us going forward.
Talk about loyalty. Brooks Koepka, yeah. After coming in second at Pebble, didn't blow the tournament off the week after, right? He came and he was exhausted, but he's here.
He's here. He made the cut. You know what? And to have Brooks here and commit as number one in the world, that's special to us. And it's special to our fans here in Connecticut. And it means the world to everybody. And again, he understands it's all part of our effort to be able to give over $2 million to charity, over 150 charities this year again. And I think that he has got such a great attitude towards the game, and he's got the right attitude. He's a good person, but he's got the right attitude towards winning and being successful.
Unbelievable. Somebody like Brooks Koepka could win, you know, 50% of the major championships he's played in, and he was so close, at the U.S. Open as well, and yet, and he never complains. He's always, a mental game like his. I think he's the strongest player out there mentally I've ever seen. No distractions. He doesn't let any distractions get between his ears.
No.
He thinks about each shot individually.
Yeah.
Doesn't, think too far ahead. I mean, he's so strong, mentally and physically. It's just phenomenal.
He is. And I think that's what it takes to win at the highest levels. I think if you're a world-class athlete, and that's how I refer to all these golfers, if you're a world-class athlete, all of their technique is good. I mean, they can tweak that, they can tweak this, whatever, but it becomes between your ears. It becomes a mental game and one of mental strength and focus and discipline mentally to be able to achieve what you want to achieve. And you can see it in the guys who are ready to go out there and play.
Chez Reavy, 6-shot lead going into the final round.
Yeah.
What do you think? It's been an interesting weekend of play with, Sukkur, had a 6-shot lead and then turned it around.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
No, unfortunately. But that happens, right? In the PGA Tour, you just never know from day to day what's going to happen and who's going to be doing what. But Chez is a great guy. He's been a good friend of the tournament, too, and a good friend of mine. And here's another young man, great attitude. Last time he won was 11 years ago, and how terrific would it be if he could come through and win today? But we've got a lot of people right behind him that are charging, Keegan Bradley, Jason Day, and many others. And Jason, here we go. Jason's another great friend of this tournament and has been loyal to us for many, many, many years. And it's just terrific to have him charging and competing as well.
I love Jason Day. He's such a great personality, and he's recently connected with a new caddy, Steve Williams.
Yeah.
And he actually said last week that he wants Steve Williams to help him win another major and a lot of majors that he feels like he has seriously underperformed.
Yeah.
Jason admitted this, and he said, Stevie told me if I don't give it my all, he's out of here.
Right.
So talk about a little pressure from his caddy, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that, it all goes back to you don't accept the status quo and keep trying to get better, and you're working every day to get better. And I think Stevie knows that, and I think that Jason knows that, and I think they're going to be a great team together.
It'll be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah.
I just hope for the best for Jason Day because he is such a nice person. So talk a lot. You mentioned the new clubhouse and some of the changes. Talk a little bit about the clubhouse and what it's like.
It's a 40,000 square foot clubhouse. and it's terrific. What's most important is in the old clubhouse, we didn't have enough dining area. We didn't have enough area if the weather got foul outside with thunder and lightning. And so this is much safer. And the other day when it was raining so hard on Tuesday, I went into the locker room and here are all the guys laying on the benches, laying on the floor, just kind of waiting for things to clean up for their time to come up.
Right.
And so we have the room. That's number one. Number two, we have a ballroom in there that's terrific for functions, which we'll figure out how to use. And it just works better. And the whole grounds around the clubhouse have been changed as well. So this is kind of a learning year for us to figure out, like, how best to build different venues and elements around the clubhouse to use it so that we can use it most efficiently. So we've got a lot to learn, a lot to adjust here between now and the 2020 Travis Championship. And it's just a great facility, great kitchens, great food. And it's the third leg of the stool, like I said, for the new practice facility, the changes to the golf course, and now the new clubhouse. The players love it, and they're very happy to be here.
So you have a Champions Club, right? And the Mohican Sun Club. What are those changes all about? Or additions, I should say.
If somebody's been here before, you'd realize that the Champions Club was always to the east side of the 18th green. Now it's on the west side. It was on the west side. Now it's on the east side. And the same is true with the Greenside Club. Used to be on the east side. Now it's on the west side. So we did a flip-flop. And the Mohegan Sun Club is out on 17 Fairway. And the rules officials of the tour told us for years, many years, that that's the best view in the course. And I went up there once and saw him. I said, yeah, that's okay. This year, Nathan Grube, our tournament director, built this Mohegan Sun Club up there. Unbelievable. Oh, my God. There's an indoor venue, an outdoor venue, and stadium seating in the front. It was sold out within, I think, 2 months of going on sale in January. And so it's a terrific venue. You can see 1, 2, 14 green, 15, 16, 17, and 18 tee and green. I mean, you can see the green way down through the – so you can see a lot of action from this one place. And so we have a lot – we're always trying to change things on the course and make it better. And we have – the Stanley Black & Decker Club, which is for general admission tickets. So there's so much out here for everybody and so many different events. We actually, if you want to laugh for a minute, so Bubba Watson has a candy store called the Bubba's Sweet Spot in Pensacola, Florida. Well, we built Bubba's Sweet Spot candy store in the fan zone here at the Travelers. And we've sold thousands of dollars worth of his candy. And the candy comes in pre-wrapped bags and it has Bubba's caricature on it. It is hilarious. The kids go in there and buy one. Oh, can I have a second one? Can I have two? So, but it's been very, very successful. And we try to do that kind of thing. Because, again, all net proceeds from that venue for that food will go to the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp. So, you know, it benefits charitably, but also it provides an exciting shop. Because what kid doesn't like candy? What adult doesn't like candy?
What did Bubba say when he first saw it?
He loved it. He went down. He was trying to figure out how he came up with the idea. And then we bought the candy from his distributor, from his marketing source, or manufacturing source. And then he saw it down here, and he said, oh, wow, this is really cool. So he's been a great fan of ours. I mean, after we did last year, when we raised $1.8 million for charity, and he said to Alan Schnitzer, our chairman and CEO, and I, hey, I'm going to put $200,000 more into this. You guys deserve to be at $2 million, and we're going to get started at the $2 million level. And he was terrific. He just did that out of the goodness of his heart. And then we were $2
million. $2 million this year, you're projected to raise for charity to donate to 150 organizations.
Yeah.
That says so much about the Travelers. It really does. It's just incredible.
Yeah, that's important to us. That's what we're here for. I mean, we try to put on a great golf outing. We have Women's Day. We have Operation Shower. We have free admission for veterans, all of that's so important to it. Because it's all a reflection of who Travelers is. That's who Travelers is as a company. We care about our diversity networks. We care about our veterans. The other day on Tuesday, we had Operation Shower, where we invite 50 to 60 expectant moms from the sub base or military station moms here in Connecticut. And it was unbelievable. They come in, we have a baby shower for them. It's a big party. And, you know, we do funny things like, somebody will announce, Travelers is donating this stroller for your baby. Flip over your plates And if you have a number one, you win the stroller. Well, everybody flips over their plates. Everybody has a one. So we give out 60 strollers. And it is great. The moms are so appreciative. And, you know, some of them are in tears and say, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have had a shower because my husband's deployed. Wow, really? So they're defending our freedom, and they're missing having a baby shower. That's not right. So we try to make things right. We have a great Women's Day, again, raising money for charity. This year it was Margaret Brennan and Kelly O'Hara from Broadway. And the list goes on. We just have so much fun. We do a lot here. But, you know, the week goes by like this year, the week goes by so fast because we've been so busy. I usually get a little breather on Friday and Saturdays once competition rounds have changed. But this year, nothing. Oh, my gosh, you just keep going.
Well, you and your team think of everything. And, you know, from catering to moms, military, the players, the dogs. You know, the dogs, can't leave out the dogs, you know, and the fans, obviously. Congratulations, Andy. It's just a wonderful event. And this year I had my charity event this year. It was a scheduling conflict, but I'm here in spirit always and keep tabs on everything that you all are doing. And it's just a real honor to be a part of it.
Thank you. And, Ann, you know, it's great to have you. You've been a dedicated partner for many, many years now. And I'd rather have you here on Sunday. I think Sunday's actually a cool day to do your broadcast because it's like, this is it. You're moving. You're moving out or you're moving into the winner's circle. And it's always good to have you. You're a great friend of this tournament. And your coverage is critical to us to tell the story to all the folks in your broadcasting area. And keep coming back. I don't care if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or all the days if you want. And we'll continue to have some fun and raise some money for charity.
Thanks so much, Andy Bissett.
Thanks, Andy.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. My guest is Brittany Vos, who is the founder of the 18-hole stroll, which takes place every Sunday morning here at the Travelers Championship, benefiting pancreatic cancer research. And Brittany, first of all, welcome to the show. It's just delightful to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you said you were born and raised on this golf course, and I'm thinking, what does that mean? But explain that.
Yeah, so I moved here eventually when I was one, and I've grown up here. I went to school in town. I've always been in town. I just recently moved away for grad school, but ever since then I've been in town, and I'm always here at the tournament every year.
So you mean you live on a house which is on the golf course here in Cromwell, Connecticut. It's the TPC Highlands, River Highlands Golf Course. So you said you used to live on hole two, then you moved?
Yeah, so I originally was born in hole nine. And then we moved to two when I was about 11, and now we're back on nine. So it's been just a move around, but still on the course. We'll never leave.
So you went back to the same house that you were in at nine after moving to two?
Yeah.
What about 18?
Nope, we're not going to go to 18, but it's nice just because my family has a lot of memories in nine, and then we have different memories in two. So it's very meaningful to have both houses here.
So has the whole family been involved in the tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad used to go to the tournament all the time. My mom and my brother have always gone since they've been here. So it's been a very meaningful tournament every year that it comes back. We're not one of the residents that just leaves because it's too busy here. We really enjoy tournament.
So talk about putting together this walk and what it means to you personally.
Yeah, so when I was five, I lost my dad to pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed at stage four and was gone within 3 weeks. So it was very hard to lose my best friend and my rock. It's a memory that is still hard to this day. But what I tried to do is take a dark time and bring it into light. So I started going to walks in Boston and New York through the Lustgarten Foundation. Blatantly asked them why there wasn't one in Connecticut. So they didn't have an organizer. And at 13, I took on that role. So I turned to my mom and I said, hey, mom, let's start a walk in memory of dad. But it's not just in memory of my dad. You know, pancreatic cancer is a 9% survival rate currently. So there's not enough survivors to kind of fight that fight and tell the story. So I took on that role to tell the story and bring awareness to pancreatic cancer. And thanks to the Travelers Championship, I mean, they've done so much for me to help me bring this. And now I'm at a national level being here at the PGA Tour.
So, and how old are you now?
23.
Wow. So you started when you were 13. That's amazing. And so you've learned a lot through the years, and now you're here, and you've been doing this stroll. How many people did you have this morning?
So this morning we had about 350 walkers, which has been, it's been growing every year. Last year we actually hit the $500,000 mark. So in the past 9 years, I've raised $500,000. Today we just hit 600,000. So my goal has always been to raise $1 million for pancreatic cancer research. I think it's much needed, but beyond that, it's beyond the funds. It's about awareness. Not a lot of people know about it. So I want to bring that awareness, and I can do it here in Connecticut, but also being here at the PGA Tour, it's a national event. So it helps a lot.
You know, it's just, it's stunning to me that, you know, that percentage, you said 9% survive pancreatic cancer. And the timing of this is uncanny, because just a few days ago, I hosted my 21st annual Anne LaGorrie Foundation Charity Golf Classic at West Hampton Country Club on the east end of Long Island. And our sponsors, who are members at West Hampton Country Club, Cynthia told me her husband was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, fourth stage. And his symptoms were only really bloating. And he seems fine. Like, I saw him a couple weeks ago on the jitney going into the city. So it's a cancer that is very hard to diagnose. Similar to ovarian cancer, it's very hard to diagnose ovarian cancer. So I don't know if you've learned you know, a little bit about that, but are there other symptoms aside from bloating?
Yeah, there's some symptom. It's just so hard to detect because the pancreas is very hidden within the body. So a lot of people, they kind of overlook it sometimes. And when my dad was feeling sick several months before, but they couldn't figure it out. And again, this was 19 years ago at this point. So there has been an increase. When I first started the walk 10 years ago, there was only 3.5% survival rate. So to have it at 9, it has doubled in a way. But at the same time, you know, it's still only 9%. But with the symptoms, I mean, there's a variety. They see pain in the stomach, different color in urine. But, you know, those can be other things as well. It's not just we have specific symptoms for pancreatic cancer, which makes it so hard to diagnose.
Talk about your effort in organizing this 18-hole stroll. Is it a year-round effort? I can imagine it probably is something that you're doing all the time just to organize it.
Yeah, it's definitely hard at times because it is just constant memories of my father. But it is a year-round effort. We try to take a few months off just to give ourselves a break and, you know, not have that constant memory, even though we live it every day. But living, actually working on it is hard. So we do take a few months off, and then in November we have a big meeting, but January 1st is when we really kick off for a good hard 6 months.
And what's your relationship like? It must be a wonderful relationship with the Travelers Championship. They're, you know, they've taken you under their wing, and you've grown up here on the TPC River Highlands course, so it's kind of like a one big family, right?
Absolutely, it is one big family. I mean, back I had a few years ago, I had Jay Fishman actually seek me out. So it was a powerful moment for me. And he was a big sponsor for me back when he was alive. And, you know, he's a man that I look up to every day, even though he's still no longer with us. He supported my walk. He supported my mission. And as a young girl who's trying to make a difference in the world, he was so proud to just help me. So it was pretty amazing and powerful to have him behind me. But also Nathan Grube and Andy Bissett. I mean, they are complete family to me. I mean, I have great relationships with Andy Bissett. I literally call him a mentor. Just because I feel like I can go to them about anything, and even with the walk or not the walk, it's a great opportunity to just brainstorm and learn, and I'm a big learner. So it's been a great family, and I cannot thank them enough, because even Travelers Championship, they provide my tent, they provide everything from tickets. I mean, they really make the event happen, and then without them and Travelers Insurance, I would not be able to bring this at a national level. So thank you.
So are you, did I hear you're studying, you're in graduate school right now? Tell me about what you're studying and where you're going.
So I'm currently at Salve Regina in Newport, Rhode Island, and through all the trauma that I went through, I've decided to be a clinical psychologist and help other kids who have gone through trauma and going through hardships that I may have gone through, may not, but either way, it's trauma. And it's, for me, it's a way of giving back to the community.
very hard as a teenager to lose a parent or anybody. It's a very formative years, and it must have been very, very tough at that age.
Definitely. I mean, I was super young. I was 5. We were in the middle of adopting my little brother, so I didn't really know what was happening. It was like, you know, I just lost someone so close, and my little brother came 3 weeks later. So it was just a time of total transformation. And at 5 years old, you know, I'm a girl, so I always look up to my dad. And not having him around and looking around, I felt so alone. So that's why this whole walk has helped me so much, because in the end, with 350 walkers today, I know I'm not alone. We're making a difference, and we're making an impact to help others fight the fight.
How's your mother doing?
She struggles, but she's doing great. I mean, you know, she is in the mission with me. We say every day that a lot of, with the 9% survival rate, there's not enough survivors to help cheerlead and fight that fight of others going through. So now it's our turn to help others prevent what we had to go through.
Well, you are an exceptional young lady. I wish you all the best and continued success with all that you do to raise money and awareness for pancreatic cancer research. And it's a pleasure to get to know you, Brittany. Really, I'm just so impressed with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Brittany Vos, who grew up on this golf course. I love it. Thanks so much. Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. You can order it online at dunejewelry.com, dunejewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game, peakvision.com, peakvision.com. And by Peconic Bay Medical Center, the eastern hub for the world-class resources of New York's largest healthcare system, Northwell Health. Peconic Bay Medical Center, serving a 250,000 East End residents. Learn more at pbmchealth.org. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. My guest is Nathan Grube, tournament director of the Travelers Championship. And this is final round day Sunday. And it's cool to be here on the final round, Nathan. And it's always a pleasure to interview you.
I really appreciate you making the time to come up here. Excited to see you.
It's great to be here at the Travelers Championship. And, you know, there's been some interesting storylines this week. And Chez Reavy, who was tied for third at the U.S. Open. He finished at Pebble Beach tied for third. You know, he's kind of kept the streak going. And on Saturday, he matched a tournament record on the back nine, shooting a 28 and shot overall a 7-under-63. He birdied 7 holes on the back nine. That's just unbelievable.
I think that's why a lot of guys like this course, is that if you play well, it rewards good shots. It punishes bad shots, and you can make a run on the back nine. I mean, we've seen it years before. I mean, Bubba came back from, I think, 6 shots 1 year. I think Streelman birdied 7 in a row to do it again. So it's like you make that run, and you kind of turn the corner into the crowds on 14, 15, 16, 17, and there is so much energy in that area that the guys can feed off of it, the crowds feed off of it, and, you know, you can win or lose the tournament in those last 9 holes on Sunday.
And I know you've played the course probably hundreds and hundreds of times, and you know, the factor, I mean, does the weather factor in on a lot of the back holes?
You know what it does? If the greens are soft, which they have been because of the rain, guys can go after it and you can get aggressive. But the pin positions, we had some work done on the course a few years ago where they raised the fronts of a couple greens just ever so slightly so that they could sneak the pin closer to the water or closer to the front. So if you get too aggressive, I mean, there's holes out there where guys think, oh, this is an easy 3, and end up making 6, you know. Or, I mean, it happened this week to a handful of players. So when it's wet, you can get aggressive, but you still have to pay attention. And then when the wind started blowing, like yesterday afternoon, kind of helping to dry things out, like the course is playing today, I think totally different than it has been all week. So I think the guys are going to go low.
Well, Bubba Watson, as you mentioned, last year overcame a 6-shot deficit. So it is possible. I mean, Chez Reavy started the final round on Sunday with a 6-shot lead, but anything is possible.
It really is. I think that's what's so much fun about this course is that, like the year Furyk, Jim shot 58 here 1 year. So he was 12 under in one round, but I think it was 14 under, if I'm not mistaken, won the entire tournament. So for 4 days, the guys could only get to 14 under, but on one day, Jim got to 12 under. So it's one of those things where it, the numbers are out there if you can shoot it, but you'll get penalized if you don't. You know, I mean, the guys really have fun out here, and the birdies are out there.
So talk about, what does a tournament director do? I mean, you have to kind of oversee so much. So for my audience who may not know all your responsibilities, give us an idea of what your week's been like and how many things you oversee.
Sure. It's. I was trying to explain this to my grandfather. It was very interesting when he said, you're going to do what? And so I think it's what I enjoy about it is, first of all, you have a really good team around you. I mean, we have 13 of us that work on the tournament year-round. And that core group then expands out to, we have about 8 to 10 interns that work with us for about 6 or 7 months. And then there's all of our other partners are volunteers. We have, you know, almost 40 committees of volunteers, almost 4,000 of them. So you kind of have this core group, first of all. You establish the team of what it's going to take, and then you chop up the year on what you have to do at certain times of the year. And what we see here, tournament, like the week of the tournament, really is a culmination of a year's worth of work. You know, you see all the hospitality structures that build started 3 months ago to build all of these. And then you think about the clients that are in these hospitality structures, and those relationships took, you know, a year to cultivate to get to this point. And then you kind of drive around the course and you say, oh my gosh, all these people are being fed. What food provider do we use? What menus did we create? You know, what pricing are we going to choose to charge? And then you kind of turn over here and you look at the whole medical setup and you think, okay, how are we going to take care of our fans? And you know, how's the medical situation? And then you think, okay, well, how did people get here? What are we going to do to advertise? How do we sell our tickets? What prices are we going to charge for our tickets? You know, what days are we open? And so you kind of have all these layers of what it takes to put on the event. And I was just taken with it when I first got into the business. I was fascinated by how much work went into 1 week. But then what's cool is you get to tear it apart and do it again. And you get to, you know, hopefully fix your mistakes. And you get to take the things that went well and make them better. And then you get to, you know, build this whole thing again. A golf tournament is not like, I mean, I look at all the structures out here. And I mean, it's an entire city out here. But what's cool is we're not in an arena, in a sense that we're stuck in an arena. Like if we want to change something next year, we change it. And if we want to build a new hospitality structure, we can do it. And if technology changes and we get this cool new product, we can use it. So kind of reinventing it every year is pretty fun to do.
And I know that Andy Bassett has a little notepad because he showed it to me earlier. So how involved are you with that notepad?
Oh, let's just say I think he has my initials on a handful of things. I've already talked to him about it, you know, multiple times this week. But, I mean, I think that's honestly what pushes us to get better. I mean, we all have either, you know, whether it's on our phone, you know, you have an app to take notes, whether you have a notepad in your pocket, we are constantly writing everything down. And we talked to our team about this. Never assume you're going to remember anything. Write it down immediately. If you're walking somewhere and you think that'd be a good place for a staircase, either send yourself a note, you know, or write it down in your notepad or whatever. But a lot of us have gone, you know, digital and electronic, where I used to have a notepad always on me, but now, I mean, the way I can send information and file it just so quick, it's made it so much easier. And now that obviously phones are allowed on a golf course, it does make it easier. You can take pictures, send it to yourself. So one, you remember what you were talking about. And two, you know, if you can't read your own handwriting, like I had trouble with sometimes, like, what is that note that I wrote? So I think it's all the little things. We compile all of those things, we put them into a document, and literally spend the next, you know, 8-9 months really chipping away at what we can do.
See why your grandfather was a little confused when you told him your job description. Is your father here?
Hey, he actually is. My dad volunteers, and so it's so great to have him out here. And he drives shuttle carts, and he
picked me up last year. And then finally, after 4 minutes of talking to him, he revealed he was your dad.
It's great, but I make him sign up to the website. I ask him, I say, hey, did you do your volunteer setup? You know, did you do everything? And he goes through everything. So it's fun to have him out here, but I mean, we have 3,800 volunteers like that, that take time off of work, come out here. They really care about it. They're proud of this event. And, it's very cool to see.
So what's been the highlight for you? Let's start with, you know, the play. I know you're doing, you know, multitasking, and which is, most men aren't great multitaskers, but, I'm glad to see that you are, right? I hate to say that. That was a sexist comment. But anyway, women are more the multitaskers. Men are normally linear. That's what I'm told. Anyway, but, what's been, the highlight as far as the players go and the play goes this week?
Sure. And first of all, I'm very self-aware and I would agree with you 100%. Actually it's a female on our team, Tara Gerber, who really is unbelievable at putting all these pieces together and figuring out all the different, you know, implications of all these different areas. So she's a key member of the team. But To get all this done in the middle of a PGA Tour event, right? Like, you're doing all this around it, but it can't compromise the competition because you want to have the best players in the world here. And Andy Bassett, you mentioned Andy. Like, he and I are very committed to building the best field that we can, and then we do all this other stuff. So having five of the top 10 guys in the world here, having Phil come back, you know, for the first time in a while, and then you go to Bubba as a three-time champ, and Patrick Reed, and Patrick Cantlay. I mean, we had a very good field this year. But from the competition, what I love to see is when the crowd, I mean, because these crowds are just absolutely crazy. We were walking around today. I mean, every time a player walks by, they're going, yeah, let's go for all the groups. And they're getting really into it. And the players are getting into it. And you see them. I mean, it's almost like a Ryder Cup or a major where every hole there is just cheers. And like it gets the players going and they talk about it. And so I think when I see the players acknowledging and getting into it on the first hole, going, oh, my gosh, on Sunday, like, this is going to be a crazy day, I love seeing that on their face. You see the pride of the fans, and you see the how the players respond. It's pretty cool.
What's been your favorite memory through the years here?
Oh, gosh. I would say one of my strongest memories is in 2016, so Jay Fishman, the former CEO of Travelers, was battling ALS, and 2016 he was in a wheelchair, and he was going around talking to we had a big tent for ALS patients, the Hospital for Special Care up there, and Jay was going around in his wheelchair, you know, saying thank you to everyone. He was on the player shoot on 18, and he was waiting at the top of the hill, you know, saying thank you to players, and Jim Furyk was at the bottom of the hill, and Jim just shot 58. I mean, the cameras around him were crazy. I mean, he knows what that means to the sport and to golf, and he is surrounded by media, and he's coming up the hill. The fans are going crazy, and he's coming up the hill, and Jay is just sitting there very quietly at the top of the hill in his wheelchair, and Jim sees him and stops. Like, this is Jim's moment, right? I mean, he is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame. This is going to be probably a generation before this record is broken. And he stops, and it immediately was no longer about Jim. And he stopped, and he sat down next to Jay, and he was so appreciative. He said, Jay, I'm so appreciative of everything you've done here. And we snapped a picture of just that moment. And then Jim goes on, and I have that, or we actually gave this as a gift to Jay later that day. We got it framed. We did it where Jim's there with Jay. And just that moment in time where Jim set aside this amazing thing that he had just done and basically just pushed himself to the side to give that moment to Jay was, I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
That's a great moment. So poignant. And Jim is like that. Jim Furyk is just amazing, right? And I remember hearing Jay speak, I think it was that year, at the banquet in town. And he had an incredible speech, no notes, and just spoke beautifully for a good 20 minutes and just had us all captivated. That was probably one of my most memorable moments from the whole week being at the Travelers, you know? I mean, yeah. Just an incredible personality, and he was the chairman of the company. And you know, you maybe talk a little bit about Jay.
Jay is one of the most special individuals I've ever had. Just the fortunate times in your life that you get to know people and they change your life. Jay did. Jay changed my life. And that dinner that night, when he was diagnosed, Andy and Jay were very close. And Andy, we sat down, and he said, hey, I really want to do something special for Jay. Let's figure out how to do a big dinner. Let's raise, you know, our goal was to raise $1 million for ALS research. And we were going to sell 100 tables. And I remember sitting where Andy says to me, we're going to sell 100 tables at $10,000 a table and raise $1 million for ALS. And I went, okay, wow. And he was, I mean, when Andy gets committed to something, like, it's going to happen. And so he says, all right, let's do it. And so we started selling these tables at $10,000 a table. And people, honestly, initially were like, you're going to, you know, sell 100 $10,000 tables in the next 8 months? And we said, yes, we're going to do it. Fast forward, we ended up selling 140 tables, raised, you know, $1.4 million for ALS research. And that party that night was one of the most surreal experiences, to your point. I mean, Jim Nantz spoke, players spoke, commissioner of the PGA Tour, Tom Watson. And I'll forget from the player standpoint, too. So Bubba Watson was in the Olympics that year, and he missed opening ceremonies to come to this event, to come to this dinner and play in our tournament. And so did Padraig and who else was it? Reed. But Bubba showed up in his opening ceremonies outfit that the Americans were marching in down there. And so he shows up in his outfit, but he was like, hey, I'm an Olympian. This is once in a lifetime, but this is how important Jay is to me. And he donated $100,000 to that that dinner that night. And so, I mean, you just see, I think you see you know something about people when you see how they affect other people to action. And, I mean, Jay, if you spent time around him, you were inspired to do something. He's an amazing man, and he has left a massive footprint on all of us. I mean, this tournament wouldn't be where it is without him and his vision and his drive. And, think about him during tournament week probably 25 times a day. You know, oh, Jay would have loved that. Oh, that's because Jay did this. So very big part of my life.
And you talk about these players, and you bring out, you know, the sides of these players that a lot of other, you know, people don't see. I mean, you know, Bubba, people don't realize how generous Bubba Watson is. I mean, he's so generous. And Patrick Reed, Andy Bassett's talking so, you know, positively about Patrick Reed, and not a lot of people do, but he shines here, right? I mean, I just think, you know, the tournament and the people who are here really elevate the players and their personalities and make them shine to where they're likable, even if they may not be to at least the media and other events.
I will say that stems from Andy and I, when we talk about recruiting, like, we don't talk about recruiting players. We talk about building relationships with players. And I think, honestly, getting to know them and then having those parts of their personality come out stems from that. You know, I mean, knowing Patrick and Justine and, you know, just how they are and their family and things like that. Like, we know Patrick personally. And so when something happens to Patrick here, or we know about it, like, we're going to tell that story. Or, you know, Bubba and Angie, I mean, having Bubba's first win here and, you know, I mean, just what happened in their lives with their kids and just telling those stories. And like, I mean, you got to go down to Ken Duke and, you know, getting to know Ken and his family when he won here for the first time and then cut a check for $50,000 to the charity, to our tournament charities. And then, you know, Kevin Streelman, getting to know Kevin and his family and his kids when he, you know, but he sets the PGA Tour record. It's just like getting to know the guys and then telling those stories. Mark and Audrey Leishman, you know, I mean, there's just so many of our, whether it's our champions or players that play here, that we take it very personal. I mean, we feel like when they're here, it is our responsibility to make this as much their home as possible. We want them to feel like, I mean, if they're on the road 26 weeks a year playing in events, that means they're home just as much as they're on the road. So we want to make the on the road as much like home as possible, taking care of their families, taking care of, you know, celebrating their birthdays, doing birthday cakes and cards and birthday stuff for their kids. I mean, like, when they're here, we want it to be like their lives at home. So I think in doing that, it just it allows us to get to know them better and tell different stories.
And it's one of the many keys to the success of this event. Nathan, thank you so much for joining me. I just love hearing about you know, the personalities that you've gotten to know through the years and how they really shine here at the Travelers, the players. And, you know, that's why it's always very often voted, you know, the most favorite stop on the PGA Tour, the Travelers Championship. Nathan Grube, the tournament director, thanks so much. And let's see what happens in this final round. It should be exciting.
Should be a fun Sunday. But, Ann, I want to say thank you to you, too, because these stories would never exist unless you told them. And that is your art and your craft, and you do it very well. And we appreciate you bringing us to light.
So much. Appreciate that. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. My guest is Ches Reavy. Congratulations. You won the Travelers Championship. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels fantastic. You know, I'm so excited to be here with all the Travelers folks, and it's just so fun.
I saw you last week at Pebble Beach, and you tied for third. Do you feel like the play there and the momentum that you perhaps gained there really helped this week, and in what way?
Absolutely. You know, playing on Saturday with Rory and Brooks on Sunday and just feeling comfortable in the moment and hitting golf shots the way I wanted to hit golf shots, it gave me a lot of confidence for this week.
This is the second title in your career, and your first came your rookie year in 2008. So I know you've had some ups and downs with the wrist surgery, and talk about how you kind of hung in there, and what were your thoughts, and did you ever feel perhaps you might never win again during that rough period?
Yeah, you know, going through the surgery, there were some dark days, just not knowing if I can golf again, let alone win again. And then what was great is it just gave me perspective, and I actually, you know, it helped me today. I had to stay patient. I couldn't press when Keegan was making all those birdies, and I just kind of stuck to my own and played well coming in.
And Keegan got to within one heading into the 17th. How did you feel about that? Were you surprised? Were you disappointed? What were your thoughts as you headed into 17?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't disappointed at all. He's a great player. I've played with him a lot, and I knew he was going to come out firing today, and I figured I was going to have a moment today where it was going to get close, and I just wanted to make sure I was prepared to respond to that moment.
How does this second title change your life, if anything? I mean, obviously confidence-wise and a big boost for your career mentally, and what else? How do you think it's going to impact you?
Yeah, you know, coming out here, knowing you can win, knowing you've won before and you've won multiple times, you know, it's just gives me so much confidence going into the future, and I'm excited for the tournaments coming up.
What are you going to do to celebrate?
We're going to go jump on a flight and fly to Detroit because we're playing next week.
Congratulations, Chez. Really, really well-deserved.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. My thanks to the team at the Travelers Championship, to Andy Bissett, Nathan Grube, Brittany Vos, and to the winner, Chez Reavy, and to my brilliant engineer, Kyle Lynch. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy this great weather, and I'll talk to you next Saturday morning from 9 to 10 right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.